Oftentimes when we have this unhealthy bacteria imbalance, it can contribute to adrenal issues. The more inflamed we are, the more it suppresses the thyroid. Gassier you are, this is a sign that there is an overabundance of unhealthy yeast and bacteria. The bloating, the gut issues, the food sensitivities, the significant hormone issues, the exhaustion, the weight loss blocks and retention and inflammation.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. So glad you're listening to Health Power. If you've listened to the show, you probably have heard me talk about my food sensitivities over the years, the grief over my mom who died when I was in my 20s, probably not my flatulence. That's kind of a more recent situation. My bloating, the fact that a very well-known Ayurvedic practitioner told me that I am carrying 25 pounds of water. And I'm thinking, that's crazy. But then I talked with somebody who said, not so much. And this somebody is someone who coaches people and helps them with hormone health, digestive health, weight loss, weight gain, whatever, and much more. Her name is Amber Romaniak, and she's fabulous. And what we decided to do is, I'm not going to interview Amber today. What we're going to do is, she's going to treat me like, well, she's going to treat me, and you're going to get to listen, and you're going to get to see clips. And I'm nervous because, I mean, everyone knows I'm an open book, but if you're new to the show, you're going to learn a lot. And some of the issues I'm having, some of the advice could be helpful. Now, of course, Amber's going to get into the fact that we're all different and there's bioindividuality and all that jazz. So Amber, I'm excited.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I'm so excited too. And we're going to go on a beautiful journey together. And to just give a bit of a back history. Yeah. Like you said, my name is Amber Romaniak. I've been in this field for 10 and a half years. I'm an emotional eating, digestive and hormone expert. And I coach and assist women all over the world who are struggling with these very things. The bloating, the gut issues, the food sensitivities, the significant hormone issues, the exhaustion, the weight loss blocks and retention and inflammation. And where that all comes from and stems from is usually behaviors like emotional eating, binge eating, food addiction, self-sabotage with food, body image struggles, low self-worth, people-pleasing, overbooked schedules, a lot of mindset stuff. So I like to blend and work on both of them. And like you just said, just a friendly little disclaimer for everybody, we are all individual and all unique. So some of the recommendations I'm going to be providing specifically for Lisa, especially hormonally, may not be suited for you. So always make sure before you do any kind of supplementation or large lifestyle changes that you consult with your healthcare practitioner or your doctor, because depending on medications you're taking or current habits or imbalances going on, I'm not liable for anything that I say here, nor do I want you to just take on any recommendation. That being said, you're going to learn a lot. And if you do want to then connect and have a conversation, I'm happy to do so in a consultation and talk directly to you and see what we could do together.
This is
about you right now. So we're going to literally dive into the health assessment. So the first session that I do with all of my clients.
Home is where what? Home is where the dog is. Okay.
Yes, so the first session I always do with my clients, which I think is really important, regardless of who you're getting help from, is to actually get a full-blown health assessment where you fill out a very thorough intake and where we're actually looking at assessing each aspect of your health. So your relationship with food, relationship with body, your physical symptoms, and all of the major systems, your food, supplements, medications, and your history, because that's how I'm able to start making really specific recommendations. And that's, I think, most important. So the first thing I actually want to talk about before we get into the physical symptoms, because I want to talk a little bit about your relationship with food and just make sure that there isn't any stress eating, overeating, emotionally eating, mindless eating going on. Because if there is, we want to address that because that would have a negative impact on your symptoms. So tell me about that.
Well, for me, I think the most, I don't overeat, I don't undereat, I don't binge eat, I don't eat. Sometimes I'll eat when I'm bored, but then it's like I'm eating a little more dark chocolate than I should, or, you know, there's nothing major. The way it works for me is I don't have like horrible food reactions. But let's say I wanted pasta 2 days in a row. By the third day, I would have a headache. I would have a very heavy head. It'd be hard for me to wake up. I call it a food hangover. So most of the days I stick to grass-fed meat, chicken, avocados, vegetables, things like that. But I'm still always thinking about it, right? So that takes a big toll. I just want to eat. I'm so tired of trying to figure it out and plan it. And then I get sick of all the same things that I'm eating all the time. I don't know how to heal the gut. I've been told I was diagnosed years ago with leaky gut. That's where I think about food too much, but it's because I don't want to wake up feeling crappy.
For sure. I totally get what you're, where you're coming from. So if we are eating when we're bored, that is a bit of emotional eating. So we do want to just look at that and acknowledge that. To just clarify for the audience, emotional eating is any reason for eating other than physical nourishment. So you're bored, you've just finished dinner and you're like, I want to pick through and have dessert, even though you're not physically hungry anymore.
Right.
You're sad, you're bored, you just got triggered by the number on the scale, you got bloated and you're like, I ate clean and I'm still want to eat. F it, I'm going to eat whatever I want. So those are just some of the many examples rather. So we'll kind of touch on that. We want to make sure you're really truly eating for physical nourishment. You can still enjoy chocolate.
Yes.
And when you do, and with food just in general to aid in better digestion, we'll talk more about mindful eating and making sure you're sitting at the table, chewing your food thoroughly with technology being put away.
Yes.
That's good. So with the food sensitivities, here's the thing. Cutting a bunch of stuff out usually doesn't resolve everything because the leaky gut is what we really need to address. And so there's so many components of leaky gut though. So how long have you had the bloating, the gas, the sensitivities that you feel like you've been reacting like this?
The food sensitivity started when I was 25, out of the blue. Although I should give, my mother had severe food sensitivities.
Okay.
She got down to 85 pounds. She was covered rashes from head to toe. It was in the 80s. Nobody knew. I don't know how people can say, it's all in your head when you're covered head to toe in rashes and you've lost 40 pounds. But people will say things to women.
For sure. Men, sadly.
Still today too. I love corn. I love Mexican food. It's my favorite. I ate a corn chip, just a few. Mm-hmm. I said I ate one, but I ate a few. And I literally felt like I swallowed nails. And I thought, are you kidding me? Like my biggest fear is turning into my mom. I don't want to be that sensitive. She was literally eating brown rice, broccoli, and chicken, and that's it. And after that, then it was wheat. Then it was soy. Then it was dairy. Then it was all the things that most people are allergic to. The interesting thing is people always say, you must have a gluten sensitivity. No, if I eat brown rice pasta or I eat whole wheat pasta, I feel the same amount of crappiness. Anything highly processed, any grain. But when I do stick to more whole foods, I do feel better.
Yeah.
That's why give me some grass-fed steak, give me an avocado, give me a yam, give me a salad, and I will wake up full of energy, no bloating, no head issues, no headaches, nothing.
Yeah. So part of it is definitely the leaky gut, and part of it isn't necessarily that we're sensitive to the food, but unfortunately here in North America, soy, corn, largely GMO. So it's not even actually from a true authentic crop. To find real corn, you have to go to Mexico and find like a 10th generational farmer who hasn't been bought by Monsanto. So our body doesn't digest GMOs. Our body doesn't know how. Like they do studies with mice, they eat GMOs and they gain all these tumors and they die. Like it's So sometimes with some of these things like the corn, the soy, the GMO nature of it, and or also the heavily sprayed pesticides.
Right.
Wheat is heavily sprayed with pesticides as well in North America to yield a higher crop.
Right.
And so some people aren't even sensitive to the wheat or the gluten, which is the protein in the wheat that a lot of people are sensitive to. It's also the pesticides and everything that they're spraying on as well. And here's another example. I'm really sensitive to, I cannot eat conventional strawberries. And I'm like, what the heck? Why can't I eat conventional, but I can eat organic? It's all the pesticides because strawberries are one of the most pesticide laden fruits.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes what we have to understand is some of the unfortunate chemicals and things that are being sprayed on the food is what the body is really reacting to. And as the body should, she should be yelling at us and going, hey, don't give me this. We want her to be clear. But we also want the body to be in the state where she can tolerate a little bit. Now, what I find is when we have heightened hormone imbalances, elevated inflammation, sluggish lymphatic system, gut issues, gut flora imbalance, liver stuff, and we have all these different things going on in the body, that will continue to increase sensitivity. And then we'll feel like there's less we can tolerate. So that's why we're going to work on all these different systems to help strengthen your body. And then we'll see if she becomes a bit more tolerant or if she's like, I feel pristine. I don't want you to eat that. So I'm not going to have a very good reaction. Because for some people, they get to this place where they can have more. And for some, it takes longer. And for some, their bodies are like, don't give me this. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I feel so much better without it. Listen to me.
Yeah.
So we're going to play around with some different things to help your gut and okay. you know, deal with that. But the food sensitivity, the just cutting a bunch of stuff out though, isn't going to resolve food sensitivities. A lot of people think that that's the be all end all, because if I cut them out, my body right. will like balance and like my gut, my inflammation will calm yeah. down and my intestinal lining will strengthen.
Right.
However, I find for most people, it's very unrealistic to expect them to cut out a bunch of things
right.
because it's restrictive. And unless you have a very right. healthy relationship with food, trying to cut out multiple food sensitivities can just trigger food rebellion, binge eating, and emotional eating. So I personally don't do elimination diets with my clients
okay.
because most of them are struggling with binge and emotional eating, and we don't oh, okay. want to trigger more right. self-sabotage with food. So instead, what we're going to do is we're going to more so work on reducing your inflammatory load, getting your gut flora balanced, which we'll get more into, so that you have less okay. gas, and we'll get into why you have the yeah. gas.
That's only recent. I was able to find sprouted organic corn tortillas, which I think okay. I do react less to those. But 25 years ago, I don't think the pesticides were as bad as now, or am I wrong?
No, it's way worse. So, and same okay. with like the
just
GMOs, like
started,
they didn't yeah. exist, right? So it's about right. 20, 25 years ago, they started doubling and tripling the amount of pesticides okay. they're spraying onto their crops. And mm-hmm. the gluten content in wheat has increased 400% in the last 50 years.
Oh my gosh.
That is significant.
Yes.
High gluten content, and gluten is what causes a lot of people the inflammation.
Yeah, I don't eat gluten for the most part.
Yeah, but then you go to Europe and people can eat the bread and they yes. don't have the pesticides, and they have way more strict food regulations, which right. we should have here.
I went to Italy in 96 and I didn't eat any pasta or bread. I didn't know that. And I just ate whatever else was there. It was delicious, yeah. but I'm like, oh, I got to go back. Especially
yeah.
after we work together and I get things cleaned up. So
yeah.
yes, but the gas is recent. The gas where it's okay. like all the time, not all the time, but like a lot. And I'm bloated more, but my husband and I were trying to figure it out because uh-huh. I love amaranth, but it's like it coincided with me adding the amaranth. I put a little allulose syrup that could also be, gassy. I don't know.
Maybe.
I also eat a lot of lentils and chickpeas, which do not make me feel bad in the morning. So I don't really want to give them up, but I'm going to follow your lead. But I've been doing lentils and chickpeas forever without the gas. So maybe it's all too much. And then there's broccoli in the mix that I use too, a frozen mix of broccoli, carrots, sweet potato, and chickpeas.
Gas is a byproduct of all the unhealthy bacteria living in your large intestine. So in our large intestine or our colon, we have a whole microbiome, whole like colony of bacteria that live there. There's over 8 pounds of bacteria that live in the large intestine and over 800 different strains. Mm-hmm. And there's candidas and funguses and all these different things. And we're always going to have a small balance of the unhealthy yeasts and bacterias, and ideally, right. at, you know, 80 to 90% of the good. But the gassier you are, this is a sign that there is an overabundance of unhealthy yeasts and bacteria. And okay. when we eat anything that is starchy or carbohydrate rich, sugars, or breaks down into simple sugars, so all your plants, fruits, vegetables, grains, etc., we eat it. It feeds unhealthy bacteria. Its byproduct is carbon dioxide, and then you get gas.
Oh,
so the okay. gas is a byproduct of feeding that unhealthy bacteria, which is innocent because you're right. eating good foods. But if we're eating too much of certain things, or we're not properly supporting the gut bacteria, we'll have more gas. So something you can pay attention to, and I'll add a note into the email, would just be things that do make the gas worse, because we're going to want to start to see and pay attention to what those things are to see then, you know, if it's a certain way you're cooking them that is fueling it, or if it's just the food in general, regardless of it being okay. raw or cooked. Because right. sometimes, here's an example. If you roast sweet potatoes in the oven and then you put them in an air fryer thereafter to heat them up, or you put them in and like reheat them again, like we're increasing the sugar content so much.
Oh.
And then you're eating that and it's like tenfold what it would have been if you just would have had it the first time and then just like, I don't know, thrown it in a salad or something like that. Now, as we balance your gut flora, it won't be as sensitive, you won't be as gassy. But the amaranth, the allulose, those kinds of things could potentially be fueling the gas.
Okay.
And then, like I said, if we're having a lot of different starches and grains, it definitely feeds that unhealthy bacteria. So with the gut bacteria, just so people understand, if you've ever had to take antibiotics, you've eaten a lot of sugar, you've had a sugar addiction, lots of sugar cravings, eaten a lot of processed carbohydrates, drank alcohol, had high stress levels, this all feeds this unhealthy bacteria. And antibiotics kill all the good and bad bacteria and just leave the bad to take over. And then if Right. we're eating a ton of sugar, have high stress, taking more antibiotics, drinking alcohol, right, having a lot of foods with yeast in them, a lot of mushrooms, lots of coffees, stuff like that, and we're feeding this unhealthy bacteria, and that's also what will fuel it and make it get out of control. Regardless of where your gut flora is at, our gut flora is super sensitive. And when we have a gut flora imbalance, a yeast candida imbalance, we have more suppressed immunity, brain fog, low energy, increased cravings for sugar, carbohydrates. It can trigger increased appetite levels, more moodiness, anxiety, low moods. Oftentimes when we have this unhealthy bacteria imbalance, it can contribute to adrenal issues. The more inflamed we are, the more it suppresses the thyroid. And so it can contribute to thyroid imbalance. We want to see something with at least 50 billion bacteria in at least 10 to 12 different strains, and something that has to be in the fridge.
Okay. What are brands that you like? Cause I love for people to be able to just take away that.
So I really like, there's a couple of favorites. I really like Natron. They do, well, the woman who founded it, she has been in the probiotic research industry for 40 plus years is the first founder of, she's one of the first women that created a probiotic brand before it went all shiny marketing. I also really like Renew Life. They have specifically formulated probiotics for women and gut flora and vaginal health.
Okay.
And I really like Genestra. So they have a really nice multi-strain 50 billion bacteria per capsule. And here's a couple other things, a couple other oopses that were taught about gut flora. Drink kombucha. It's good for your gut bacteria. No, it's not if you have a gut flora issue. So that's good. That's okay. So kombucha is not going to help feed your good bacteria. It only feeds the bad when you have a gut flora issue. So you want to limit your intake of kombucha. Also, I don't suggest probiotics that have fructoglycerides or prebiotics, because until your gut flora is balanced, those are to just feed the unhealthy bacteria and give it more gas.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So we want a probiotic with no, it's FOS is the short term, and no prebiotics and just probiotics. Once we balance your gut flora down the road, then you could play around with a probiotic that has the prebiotics.
Yeah, right.
But right now it's just feeding the wrong bacteria, and that could be contributing to your gas.
Yes.
So we'll do that, and I'll put a note in the email of things you can check out, but we'll get you on to a day for now. So as we increase your probiotic dose, you may have a period of time where you have more gas and then it completely drops off, or it's just going to get a bit better, or you're not going to notice anything at all. Some women, if they have a really high imbalance of unhealthy bacteria, will get some bloating and discomfort as they go on to a higher dose probiotic, because you're starting to disrupt the environment, and that unhealthy bacteria does not want to go. It gets pissed off. So there is some temporary disruption for some women sometimes, and sometimes there isn't. So just like to forewarn, and you can keep me updated on what you're feeling. So part of it is we need to get the probiotic intake up,
right?
Because that's one of the things that contributes to the leaky gut. As
and
far
the bloating
as
is I never had it this bad. It's really bad.
Is it upper, lower, full abdomen? Where?
It's all lower. Although yesterday I kind of looked like I was like pregnant, not pregnant, but definitely weird. But it's usually lower.
If we're retaining a lot of water, we have bloating. That is not weight. That is a symptom we want to address.
Yes. Right? And I brought that up at the beginning. I just want to tell a story real quick. So I was getting interviewed. I was interviewing this Ayurveda practitioner, and I said, you know, I'm 175 and I'm more comfortable at like 165. So I don't want to go on a radical. I don't want to go on a diet. I have enough for food restrictions, but I don't know. And I was summer, I was wearing shorts. And when she saw my whole body, cause you just see me from chest up. And when I sat down, she said, you are carrying 25 pounds of water. And I said, that's insane. And she kind of convinced me it wasn't. And then she gave me some stuff, sent me supplements I didn't take. But anyway, I wanted her to work with me, but she didn't have time. And I thought I could take the supplements on my own, but then when I told Amber about the 25 pounds, she's like, no, that's not crazy. So jump in. No. And that's, That's not my biggest goal. Of course, my biggest goal is to fix my gut so I can eat more things. Because then it's like, I'm not going to sit there and eat pizza every day. But if my family wants to go out to pizza once a month, I can go and not be like stressed out about it, right?
100%.
Or enchiladas, you know? I love enchiladas.
The only problem, again, is that, when we have heightened inflammation and we have a lot going on, our bodies are not going to tolerate that food in the same way.
Right.
And as long as there's GMOs and things, like, we can't guarantee your body will have it and have no symptom, because your symptoms are your body's way of speaking to you. And she's trying to tell you, like, please don't give me this or give me less of this right now, because it's causing issues. Right. And give me more of this right now. And as we sort things out, you'll become more attuned to that. But yes, I think that we can get to that place of balance. It's just looking at what the emotional and physical imbalances are. So to go back to the lower abdomen, if you're bloated in the lower abdomen, that is a very high likelihood, again, tying back to that unhealthy bacteria, candida yeast overgrowth. So I'm guessing you have a significant candida overgrowth that has probably been there for a while. And that's where it will sit in that colon and that lower abdomen. So getting you on the higher dose probiotic is the first step to help start putting the good bacteria back in. And then we will go through a gentle protocol to eliminate the unhealthy bacteria, but we'll do that probably in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
And first we'll work on some other things. The other thing I find with this unhealthy bacteria is that it will inflame the intestinal lining. So that bloating you're feeling is actually the intestinal lining puffing up and swelling up. That's the inflammation. So bloating is a sign of inflammation, redness, swelling, heat, retention are all signs of inflammation. Pain is a sign of inflammation. So if you eat something and get pain or cramping, this is signs of that body having that, you know, inflammatory kind of immune reaction.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
But what about my legs? Like, I had shown Amber my legs, and I have on my inner thighs, it's like wavy fat, or I think it's water. I'm sure there's probably a combination. I forgot to tell you this. I had lymphedema. I had a lot of swelling in my ankles, a lot of pain, and I had to wear those socks. So there's something, it's not just bloating here. What is that? What's going on with that?
So when it comes to, you know, we can retain a lot of water. We can retain up to 20 to 25 pounds of water. And that comes from a variety of things, including gut flora imbalances, inflammation from food sensitivities, adrenal fatigue, which is a hormone imbalance when your cortisol is too high or too low, thyroid issues, including low thyroid, hypothyroid and Hashimoto's, food sensitivities, eating too much processed food, high stress levels, poor sleep, dehydration, emotional eating. There's many things that can fuel this retention. And another missing piece that a lot of people don't talk about is the lymphatic system. So your lymphatic system is the garbage removal of the body. And when it's stuck and sluggish, we retain water like crazy. Our lymph goes all the way down our legs, into our groin, up into our breasts, the neck, our, you know, jaw, below our jawline, the back of the head, the armpits. And when our lymph is sluggish, you're going to feel more puffy. You're going to look more puffy. You're going to retain water in different areas. So for example, for me, my lymph used to be really sluggish. I retain tons of water in my face, and it's not a judgment, but when I look back at photos of myself, I'm like, wow, I can really see that retention and how swollen I was from the lymphatic issue and the cortisol issue.
Right.
And I had tension headaches. My lymph was so stuck, it was giving me tension headaches. Acu wasn't working. None of that. It was stuck lymph. Okay.
Wow.
And then we can get more stuff stuck in the breasts and just all kinds of stuff. So what happens is the more stuck the lymph is, the more water you're going to retain, the more constipated you can be, and you're reabsorbing a lot of toxicity in the body. The more inflamed the body, the more sticky and stuck the lymphatic system gets. Okay. So that's why we want to work on speeding up the lymphatic system in gentle ways, and also reducing inflammation, because inflammation is slowing down our transit time for bowel movements, our thyroids, our lymphatic health, reabsorbing estrogens, and just all kinds of things go off that we just retain more and more and more water. And if you don't know any better and you get on the scale, you think it's weight gain, and then you get hard on yourself because you're like, why am I gaining weight? It's like, you might not be gaining any weight. It might be all water. And if you're constipated, it might be the bowels, right? I mean, I've had periods of time where, you know, it's good that I knew the difference, but I was like, wow, I haven't had a bowel movement in a few days. I'm retaining a ton of water, and I was hanging on to 5 or 6 or 7 pounds. And then once I got my bowels moving and got the lymph moving, it all just went.
I have tried so many skin and hair care products. I can't even tell you. It's insane. I mean, at one point, the closet in my bathroom was full with every imaginable product. And then I found what works, and that is OneEarthBodyCare.com. I am in love with their shampoo and conditioner bars. Completely changed the game for my daughter, who had a hard time finding a good shampoo and conditioner for her hair. Their face and body is amazing. I love their day and night oil, all natural ingredients, of course, and all of this, essential oils, really great stuff. And of course, the deodorant has changed my life because I am no longer smelly. So go check them out now at OneEarthBodyCare.com.
It's so interesting that you say that. Sorry, Rhett, because most of the time my poops are great. But whenever I'm super bloated, my poops are stuck.
So constipation?
Yeah. I'm like, how often?
How often is that?
Lately, like maybe a couple times a week. Even if I'm eating like a high fiber thing, I'm like, why? It also affects my urinary situation. I don't know if that's normal.
Happens there?
When I get really stressed out, my urethra gets angry and it feels like it's scratchy and puffy and irritated. Always goes hand in hand with the extra bloating. So I'm super bloated right now. My urethra is uncomfortable. And sometimes it makes me pee more. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it makes me pee less. Today it's making me pee less, but I feel it. Like I'm sitting here and it feels like this irritated. Have you ever heard of that before? Because I've told everybody.
Does it feel like you have a UTI or does it feel like a discomfort or a pain or does it feel like a pressure?
The problem is it's not cystitis. I've been tested. It's not a UTI.
So here's the thing though. Your urethra and your rectum are very connected and are very close together. So I often find after a period of time of having inflammation in the colon, which is connected, of course, to the rectum where everything comes out, it can start to agitate the urethra and cause really different irritated symptoms and discomfort. The other thing is the more unhealthy bacteria we have in the colon, that can easily go systemic and end up in the vagina, end up in the urethra. And I'm not saying infection, but it can just agitate things as well and have that impact. Here's the thing with the colon. Colon is emotionally, and we're going to get into the emotional connections of everything because everything is very connected. Your colon is all about letting go of the past and hanging on. So if you're constipated, I always like to ask people, get curious, journal about it. What are you hanging on to emotionally that you are not letting go of? And then with the urethra, when she's flaring up and angry, well, guess what? The main emotions that will trigger are irritation, anger, frustration, and we can hold a lot of shame and guilt in our urethra. And if we don't learn ways to process and let those emotions go, whether they're from past or current experiences, the emotions will sit in these different parts of the body and flare up symptoms. And a great book that you can read and that anyone can go into that really goes deep into this is You Can Heal Your Life by Louise L. Hay. She healed cancer through healing her mind. And she talks about the emotional and energetic connections to our physical symptoms. Our physical symptoms are never just physical. Exactly. There's always an energetic and emotional connection.
What about The Body Keeps the Score? I've heard that's a good one too.
I haven't read that one to be honest, but anything like that to me is a great like resource to check out.
You know what's so interesting is I just went through a situation. I'm not going to give any details, but it was a work situation not related to Health Power. And I'm really effing pissed because I was gaslit and effed over and the whole night.
Sorry.
And I've been really freaking pissed the last few days. And I've been feeling great for months.
Okay.
And even really stressful stuff like my father-in-law passed away. I got three different types of tendonitis, which is another inflammation thing. My husband, who's super athletic and active, has a herniated disc and it's made up, and that's been hard on him. My daughter, who's low needs autism. That's a new thing, by the way. Instead of high functioning, low functioning, you say low needs, high needs, which is hard because I was so used to saying high functioning. So low needs, she has a severe generalized anxiety disorder and other, you know, so it's been one thing after another. My bladder's been, my urethra has been fine. And then this fucking thing.
Yes, you're holding the anger there.
And
I can
I'm
feel
like,
it. You're holding it there, right? So we want to learn ways to support the nervous system to process and move the emotion out of the body so that it stops flaring up.
Because
my urethra only yells at me if I hang on to certain emotions and I don't process them out, right? So what we're going to teach you over time is how to tap into your body.
Right.
And what emotions you're hanging on to and with different parts, and what do we do to move it out? Because there's different self-care practices that help us get grounded. Mm-hmm. However, there's other self-care practices that are used to move the emotion out so right. that it's no longer stuck in that place. So sometimes though, the urinary system might not be draining properly from a physical standpoint. And so sometimes we can use urinary and urinary drainage remedies to help get things moving and get some of that emotion and physically that retention out of the body. Because if our urinary system is stuck and our lymphatic system is stuck, we'll retain a lot more water. Oh. So what I suggest first though is that we start working on getting the lymphatic system moving, and we'll see how things feel. Okay. And then if your urethra is still kind of like, then we can look at some urinary drainage. One thing you can try though, if you're open to it, for self-care practice that really helps us let go of a lot of intensive negative emotions, well, one of two things, and you can try what you want and leave the rest. The first thing that I find really does the trick is to spend 5 minutes in your room with the door closed. Think about the anger, the frustration, the fear, the worry, whatever they all are, bring it up and you beat up your pillow. You beat it all up into your pillow and you scream into your pillow. I call that sacred rage. That is yes. a very powerful way to move the negative emotion that's stuck in the body, causing the symptoms out, whether it's in your gut, your urethra, doesn't right. matter. Okay. Mm-hmm. The second is somatic shaking. So you can stand for 5 minutes and really, again, think about the feelings and emotions and imagine that you're shaking or you're dancing, and that movement is helping you move the energy and emotion out of the body.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is I should have warned my daughter. I was like getting ready for this interview. I'm trying to sit. I can't get comfortable because my urethra hurts. My flipping microphone isn't working. And I just was like, I just did one of those primal screams. My daughter's like, Mom, are you okay? And I was like, shoot, I'm sorry, honey. I was just really frustrated. She's like, what are you doing? You don't have to. And then the other thing is, I used to do a type of therapy called bioenergetic therapy, which I recommend to everyone. It's awesome. But we would do this thing where we would stand. Actually, I can demonstrate. So check this out. Let me see. And I'm telling you, this is a great way to shake. Okay. See, everyone could, I'm really bloated. Like,
you're
like
bloated for sure. Yeah.
There's that's not my natural. So you hang over like this. Okay. Yeah. And you hang here until your legs shake. And if they might shake, if they're tight, they'll shake quick. But if you hear eventually long enough, you can cry. You get this insane release. Unless you have a back issue, I recommend, I'm telling you, and I haven't done it in years. And I realize like that shaking, even though it's just the legs, it really moves things along. Have you heard of that?
Or seen that? And that's the thing, right? We're just in different positions where
I'm gonna do that after this.
It gives the body permission to shift and move. So trying different modalities and being open to trying different things is how we're going to figure out what works for us. Different things work for everyone, but we need the movement release. We use things like meditation, breath, journaling, tapping to ground and to re-regulate the nervous system. Right.
Could you tell me about the brushing again? You told me last time and I want to make sure I'm doing it right. If you could even demonstrate, like if you have a pen or something in your hand that.
Yeah, for sure.
Just tell us which ways, because you said that helps with the lymph.
Yeah. So what I'd like to do now is talk about some different ways that we can support your lymphatic system. I'll show you the dry brushing, but I'll also talk to you about a few other ways you can. Get the system moving, and then I'll make sure to email this stuff to you after as well. But essentially, the best ways for starting to get your lymphatic system moving are going to be dry brushing. And then we'll get into lymphatic massage and some other things, but where it gets a little bit so maybe hold off on this for now until we see your hormone tests is the hot cold showers. So dry brushing is a really great way to get the lymphatic system moving and improve circulation. It helps with better bowel movements as well.
Oh, good.
So what we want to do is get a good dry brush. You can get them. You can find them pretty much everywhere. It's easy to find one.
Yeah, I have
them. Put your favorite essential oil on it if you like. I really like orange or rose. It just adds a nice little extra. You don't have to though. But then what you're going to do is you're going to start on your ankles and you're going to brush up your leg. So
now, should you sit I was literally sitting like this, I was holding my leg.
No, you don't have to do that. So you can just stand and do it. So you could stand and brush up. The key is you're brushing up toward the heart. So you're going to just do one stroke to cover each part of your leg, up your calves, up into your groin. So brush up into your groin.
One big stroke. Like I was just doing my calves. So you go from ankle all the way up to groin.
No. So just ankle up to your knee. Do what's comfortable. So start with the first half of your leg and then do from your knee up into your groin. Okay. And then make sure you brush into your groin really good because your lymph can get stuck there. And then you're going to do circles clockwise around your abdomen. And then you're going to brush from your wrists up into your armpits. Okay. And then always do your breasts, mid-breast around into the armpit because your breasts have a lot of lymph. And then I like to do around the back of my neck really gently and under my neck because I find that's one of the places where my lymph gets stuck. But ideally 3 or 4 rounds, you could go up to 5, but I find don't go over that because then you can over detox.
This is daily.
You don't want to. So ideally we want to start with a few days a week. I don't suggest just going in daily because you may have a big purge if there's a bunch of toxicity and then that can make you feel like garbage. So I'd suggest starting with 2 days on, 1 day off, 2 days on, 1 day off. So 3 to 4 days a week. If that feels good, you could go to 4 or 5 days a week and then you could go to every day if you really like it. Okay. However, it's not about perfection. It's about what feels good for you. Ideally doing it before you shower is a really good time to do it.
My dry brush, I don't know if it's like particularly hard, but it kind of hurts. Even when I went light.
Gentle, very gentle.
It's supposed to be a little scratchy,
It's going to be scratchy until you get used to it. So I've been dry brushing for 4 years and I was like, oh, this I'm going as gentle as I can and it hurts. But now I'm like, oh, this feels so good. So you'll get used to it and it won't make your skin bad or anything. It just get used to it. Go really gently. It is just as effective. Another easy lymphatic drainage is to just put your fingers like kind of find your ribs a little bit or on your neck and just to gently, you're barely, but you're just going like this and you're going to go up your neck and you're just going to do a little bit of gentle.
Oh, I like that.
So I like to do this before bed or in the morning when I get up, I just relaxing. Do like, and it's relaxing, right? And I'm just like, I'm so grateful for my body. Thank you for another day.
I have to laugh because we talked about this. I didn't mention this to you. I was built like a boy till I was 17. I was skinny. I was made fun of it for it. I was called olive oil. I was miserable. I like my curves. So I'm hoping my boobs and butt isn't just all limp. And then I'm
going to definitely not.
I'm like, please don't take my girls away.
I think you'll be fine.
I mean, they're big enough. If some of it's limp, it's fine. But, you know, I have to joke because I never thought
totally. I'd yeah. Oh. No, I think they'll probably. Yeah.
I still want the bloating to go away.
Yeah. So
and I want the water weight, my ankles.
Yeah. So this is where the dry brushing, laying on the floor with your legs against the wall. That's another good one for especially draining out of the ankles. No, but a few minutes.
As they say, but I think it's water.
Yeah. A few minutes or until your feet start to fall asleep and then you can bring them down and then you can always bring them back up for a little bit longer. But at 5 minutes, it will do you plenty a few days a week. So you can pick, right? Right. You go, what feels best today? Do I want to dry brush, legs against the wall?
Right.
But dry brushing regularly will help improve your bowels because sometimes we can be constipated because of the sluggish lymph contributes to that.
It's weird.
Yeah. And when we have thyroid imbalance. So when we have any kind of thyroid issue and we're not producing enough T3, T4 and or too much thyroid stimulating hormone, which I feel like we need to have a whole separate chat about the thyroid health. What happens is the muscles that essentially like contract and have the bowels move along in the intestine get more sluggish because the metabolism gets more sluggish and the thyroid and metabolism are very connected. So this is where constipation, we always want to investigate the thyroid and rule out any thyroid issues and or improve thyroid health to improve bowel movement transit time, which we can do. We can improve the metabolism, improve the thyroid health and get things moving better. The better quality probiotic is going to help with constipation. We'll get the inflammation down. Mm-hmm. Have you ever taken a digestive enzyme?
I had digestive enzymes and then they were out. So I got this apple cider vinegar thing that said it acts as a digestive enzyme. But if you have a brand, just tell me and I'll literally get online or go buy it.
So with any heartburn or reflux, or is it mostly bloating?
I never have heartburn or reflux yet. When I was pregnant.
Fair enough. And the reason I like to ask is because if we have reflux and heartburn, there's different enzymes I would suggest. versus if it's more bloating. So we're looking at inflammation. We're looking at the gut flora imbalance. So I'm going to suggest something to you that has bromelain and papain. You have no issues with pineapple or papaya, no allergies. Perfect. Mm-hmm. So bromelain and papain are very anti-inflammatory. So they're going to help with bloating and discomfort. And they're going to help you break down your food. So our pancreas produces our enzymes to break down our proteins, fats, and carbs. But sometimes the pancreas can get tired. And then we're depleted. Yeah. So this helps take a bit of the load off. Helps the pancreas replenish. Your pancreas will not forget how to produce the enzymes and will help with the bloating and discomfort. That being said, I think it's also important for us to talk about some of the foods that may be triggering the bloating. And this is how I like to explain it.
Right.
And we're going to do this at a pace that feels good for you.
Don't take away. I got the best lentil soup I made ever in my life. I call it, when something's really good, I call it restaurant good. It was restaurant good.
Awesome.
Like fancy restaurant good.
Oh, I love that. Well, again, we'll see. There might be no issues with the lentils, right? In the beginning, it's a lot of experimenting because there's so many factors. Mm-hmm. So what I prefer is that we increase the probiotic. We get you on a good digestive enzyme. Make sure you're eating mindfully, right? Chewing thoroughly, fork down between bites.
Yes.
The majority of your liquids away from meals, because if we drink too much...
I don't drink with meals.
Yeah, because if we do, we dilute stomach acid and it causes bloating.
That's what I tell my daughter all the time. She's like down in the water, like it's going out of business. Well,
I hear you.
She won't listen to me, but
she'll learn. One day she'll be like, oh, maybe I should change that, right? We drink too much water with our meals. It dilutes our stomach acid, and then you can't break down your protein properly in your stomach. So it goes into the small intestine in two larger particles and then goes into the large intestine in two larger particles. So that could trigger a bit of gas. However, the majority. And so the gas we can eradicate, but it's going to be about balancing your gut flora, increasing the probiotic dose, and seeing if there's any foods you're eating that are, in fact, triggering it. So scratch the inside of your wrist, okay? Doesn't feel good, does it? Now envision that this is the inside of your intestinal lining,
okay?
So you've scratched it a bit. It's agitated. So now imagine taking chia or kale or shredded coconut or really fibrous foods and it being rubbing against your intestinal lining, right? So if you already have chronic inflammation in the intestinal lining and we're eating a lot of fibrous foods that are very beneficial for health, but right now your intestinal lining is very sensitive, it just swells everything up and causes bloating, agitation, and gas. Okay.
Interesting.
So what we want to look at is a combination of foods that are both soothing for the gut and combining that with the things that might be a bit of an agitator and have you pay attention and go, okay, after you eat this, do you notice more bloating and gas? Nothing changes. I feel fine. Right. Okay. Or is it like you said, you wake up with a headache the next day. So we're going to monitor your symptoms closely. Okay. So things I suggest to help soothe the gut, only pick things that you like though. Bone broth. Right. Rich in minerals and collagen.
I love bone broth.
So put it in your soups, like mash it into your sweet potatoes, sip on it. Yeah. Amazing. It's great for
my own. And then I got lazy, but see this, I'm so flipping motivated to get healthy.
It's okay. Yeah. But what I suggest is the true, real whole food bone broth versus those powders. Cause they're so processed.
Oh, no. I would either make it myself or get a
perfect.
Really
good
one.
Yeah. That's great.
Really nice one. I'm not pushing Whole Foods. I'm just saying it's frozen. It is delicious, but it's like the real thing.
Awesome. Really get the real deal or make yourself buy some bones, bake them for 45 minutes, cook them in a slow cooker for 12 to 24 hours. It's super easy.
Yeah.
So bone broth, very soothing. It's almost like aloe on a sunburn.
Okay.
The collagen and the minerals are very soothing on the inflamed intestinal lining. Then the next thing we want to look at, I love collagen. So if you've been, I don't know if you do any kind of protein powders, but I find most of the protein powders to cause bloating, gas, and discomfort because most people are using plant-based.
I think I'm sensitive to pea protein. Like I'll buy a protein drink and the first couple times I'm okay. Third time I drink it and I immediately feel like it's scratching on my throat.
So the best option for protein is collagen. Yeah. So every country has different ones, but I really like the, Organica with a K.
Oh, I've seen
you can get
them
pretty much everywhere. But I love collagen because it's pure protein. There's no fiber. It soothes the intestinal lining. It's great for blood sugar. So you can either make like a warm drink with it or add it to a tea or you can pretty much use it however you like. I put in my smoothie in the morning, but it dissolves really easily. So collagen, a couple of tablespoons is a good amount of protein and it's soothing for the lining. But if you're doing bone broth, that's fine. That's enough. Right. You don't have to then double unless you want to. So okay. One or the other a day. And then peppermint, chamomile, ginger, turmeric, all great in a tea form. So if you are a tea fan and you want to sip on a tea through the day, I don't put them in the email, but peppermint, turmeric, ginger, chamomile. Okay. Marshmallow root is great for constipation because it will make your bowels slightly gelatinous to help things move along. So you can do marshmallow root. It doesn't really taste like much. So if you want to pair it with a ginger or peppermint or something that you prefer the taste of, you can. But those would be great for your bowels and for the inflammation, right? So right now what we want to look at more than temporarily like swapping or removing anything, because I don't really like to, I just don't like to cut out too much if we don't have to.
Yeah,
adding more in. So adding in the anti-inflammatories, adding in the gut soothers, right? We want to add more in first. Mm-hmm. And then we want to look at, okay, well, what I find can also cause gas is a lot of raw vegetables. So do you cook most of them?
I've completely cut out since I bought my air fryer. I literally only eat cooked vegetables now. I used to eat huge salads, huge amount of raw vegetables. And then I stopped. And so I'm wondering, I keep going back to the amaranth because my husband's like, that's when he started getting gassy.
Yeah. So maybe try a break with that or try something else.
Yeah.
Did the salads make you bloated?
No. Not that I remember.
So those are some first things we're going to do with digestion. Okay. The other thing that we need to do is, of course, we've talked about getting your hormones tested. We need to see your cortisol, because if your cortisol's off, that can make your digestion more sensitive. Your thyroid and your digestion and inflammation are very connected as well. So we need to see what's going on there.
I just wanted to ask, because I sent you stuff that wasn't that old. Was there anything indicative? And we can talk about that next time, but I'm just curious in terms of like my hormones or my
thyroid. Yeah, so he didn't really test much. So all he tested that I saw was your vitamin B12, which was low. It was like 229, I believe.
Yeah, which I was surprised because I eat a lot of red meat.
Yeah, but if we don't have good digestion, we're not absorbing properly, you know, necessarily our nutrients, right? Because we absorb most of our nutrients in the small intestine, a little bit more in the large. Mm-hmm. But if we're bloated and we have a lot of inflammation, it's just a bit harder to absorb. So I find as well, if we have a high nervous system response, stress response, high cortisol, will burn through the B vitamins really quickly and burn through the B12 really quickly. So you can eat all the red meat and all the B rich foods in the world, but you're going to be burning through it just as fast. Yeah,
I was surprised by that when I saw B12. So, I've seen it on Thursday and I'm going to ask him to, I'm going to go in there fasting. I'm going to ask him to do all the blood work. If he says no, we'll take it from there, but he's a really nice guy and I'm
good. Fingers crossed. Saw your TSH, which is your thyroid stimulating hormone, which in my opinion, it was showing underactive, not normal. So the range of normal is too big. It's like 0.5 to 4.50. Right. It's actually a lot smaller that is actually normal with no signs of hypothyroid or any symptoms. Most of my clients, including myself, had a thyroid issue in the 2 range. So mine was 2.67. I had the hair loss, the eyebrow thinning, the weight gain, the achy wrists and ankles, the constipation, my appetite signal went away, my period was all over the place. These are all very common signs of hypothyroid.
What was my number?
Yours was like 2.21. So you're in that picture. So once we go above.
Yeah, I had Hashimoto's. So that's
Once we go a point above 1.75 with the TSH,
that's
when it starts to go underactive. Hashimoto's, though, we need to do other testing, including your thyroid antibodies. I didn't see any thyroid antibody tests in the results there. Okay. So I can't give you any other insight.
I wonder if I need to resend, because they did estrogen, testosterone, progesterone.
I didn't see any of that.
Oh, I'll resend it. Because yes, that's a different place where I get my hormones done.
Yeah. So if you wouldn't mind just downloading it and sending me the copies just so it's easy for me to read through, then that way I can look at it and see what's there. Because all I saw was the B12 and the TSH.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So send me a copy and I can look through it and we can talk about it in your next session. But we need to see your thyroid antibodies. We need to see T3 and T4. And I put all of that in the list of tests for you because in order to say you have Hashimoto's, there has to be elevated thyroid antibodies. If the TSH is just off, that is not Hashimoto's. That is underactive thyroid. It's a completely different thing. But most women who have underactive thyroid, which is where it's more sluggish, the doctor never tests that for antibodies to make sure the antibodies aren't high. And most women end up with Hashimoto's because it wasn't properly addressed in the first place. Exactly. And then it goes too long. And then Hashimoto's is where the thyroid starts to attack itself. It becomes autoimmune. But if we can catch it in the beginning, we can really shift it and manage it. Even if you do have Hashimoto's, we can get your antibodies down.
Yes.
And make sure it's very manageable and your thyroid's functioning really well.
The only symptom I've noticed is in the front here, my hair is just thinning a little and I'm kind of self-conscious. But see, I'm very open on the show. But you have to like go like this. Like no one's going to look at me and go like, oh my God, your hair is thinning. But
yeah,
I can see it.
And the collagen
used to be much fuller on top.
Right. The collagen in the bone broth should help with that. And again, the better we get your gut health functioning, that will help with that too. So the gut and the thyroid, if the gut's not happy, the thyroid's not happy.
They used to have such full hair. So. One of the things we're going to do, just let everybody know, is we're going to do the session and then Amber comes back a second time during the week and we're going to talk about a particular topic. I think having you share all of the blood tests that we need to get done would be really helpful.
Yeah,
I mean, sure. Because people might be like, okay, so you messed, but what is there? Because there's a lot. And then how do we get around our, well, not get around our mainstream practitioners, but how do we talk to them? Because I mean, I love Dr. Fernandez, but I don't know. I've never gone to him and said, can you do this? And he's a really nice guy, but you know, sometimes I think that's what's hard with the mainstream. That's one of the conversation. It's like, well, why do you need that? Didn't I do that already? It's like, well, who is this person? And they there's almost like they feel threatened, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, aren't I good enough? You know,
exactly. Some of them do. And some of them, it is an ego thing. And they're not really taught how to in depth read these results and provide the proper care. They can refer you to an endocrinologist. They can maybe give you a prescription, but sometimes if they don't feel confident in something, it can trigger them. And they're like, they shut down, but that's not your problem. You have the right to know what's going on in your body. And so we can definitely talk about testing, what to do if you get turned down, because 50% of my clients do. And that's why I just stopped asking them to see their doctor and started adding it into all my packages, because I didn't want to have to wait 3 or 4 months for my client to try and get into their doctor, you know, feel bad asking to know what's going on in their own body and then get declined anyway. So we can talk about all of that and how to like increase your chances of them saying yes and what to do if they don't, because you deserve to know what's going
on. Well, oh my God, you have no idea. First of all, I can't wait to tell my husband about the urethra, because I thought I was the only one, because everyone is always like, what are you talking about? You know, and I've even seen alternative practitioners, and I think it's like, they're always like, oh, are you sure it's not an infection? And I was like, no, I had cystitis, as they call my mom, is so funny, when she was alive. I had this boyfriend in college and we had just gotten together and we, you know, like rabbits. And I call my mom and I'm like, Mom, I have a bladder infection. She goes, oh, do you have honeymoon cystitis? Okay. I haven't had a bladder infection since then. Now I'm knocking on everything. That's not what it is.
Yeah, for sure. I get it. Same with mine.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'm going to go and scream in my pillow, because I'm really flipping pissed at someone that even if I try to tell them they're such a narcissist, it wouldn't matter. And they're just going to be like, see, you are, you know, because they're a gaslighter. There's no point. But if I can journal about it, yell about it, do my hanging over situation, I'm so excited. I feel hopeful. You know, I feel like it's a 20. I wish I did this 25 years ago, but you were probably a teenager.
I would have known nothing that I would have known. Like, sorry, I can't help you. But I want to just touch on one thing you just said.
Yes.
So part of something we're also going to work on together is helping you take your power back or be in your power when other people come in with their ego and they're triggered and they're the narcissist or they do whatever.
Right.
And how do we deal with that? Because there's our part to own. Maybe we can't do anything about them, but how do we move through it and take our power back so that it doesn't sit in the body and flare up all of our symptoms? And even if it has flared our symptoms up, what do we do to shift it?
Right.
So we're going to talk about that, because many people deal with this, and so many of women are people pleasers and perfectionists and like don't have any boundaries, but that stresses the body out if we don't take those steps. So
that's true.
We will talk about that also.
You're amazing, Amber. Oh, first of all,
thank you.
Everybody, we're doing a 3 months, right?
So
12 week. Woo, I can't wait. I'm going to share how I'm feeling along the way. It's going to be awesome. How do we find you? And you're just absolutely incredible.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so glad we ended up doing this. It's going to be super fun to just be on the journey with you. So So the easiest way is to go to the website, amberapproved.ca. You can learn more about body freedom. If you're wondering if you're struggling with emotional eating, there's a free quiz. And I also offer a complimentary 30-minute body consultation. So if you want to connect formally via Zoom, there's a quick little intake. You'll book your time and we'll connect and talk about whatever's going on for you. see, you know, what's holding you back, where you're seeking support. And then we can talk about if it's right to go on the journey together and how we might be able to get you where you want to go on your journey to food and body freedom. So that's the best ways. And the podcast, which is also there. The No Sugar Coating podcast, which if you like today, there's like episodes on all the stuff we talked about today in depth.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Well, I'm so excited. Everybody keep coming back to Health Power 5, maybe 6 days a week. Cause I have like a lot of regular segments of people coming up. Keep coming back to Health Power, rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, and definitely check out Amber. Everybody, thank you.
Well, that's it for our show today. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. And we would appreciate it if you could please rate and review and leave a comment, because the more you engage with our podcast, the more you will find it and help other people find it wherever they listen to their podcast. So be sure to follow us. I'm at Andrea Donsky and at Naturally Savvy. And Lisa?
At Lisa Davis MPH.
Thank you so much. And please share this episode, because the more you share shows you care. We'll see you next time.